We've reached the end of Season 1 as we get to Heavy Metal War, so let's get to the review. This is Energon Entries. Welcome back to Energon Entries, everybody. As always, this is your host, Matt Freights. I hope this finds you well. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. So let's get to the review of Heavy Metal War. The episode opens with a construction site being attacked by driverless construction vehicles. The vehicles return to Decepticon headquarters and are revealed to be brand new Decepticons called Constructicons. The Constructicons stole parts from the construction site that will help Megatron absorb the power chip rectifiers from his fellow Decepticons. As the machine is being built, Megatron flies to Autobot headquarters to enact his plan. He challenges Autobot leader Optimus Prime to a duel, with the winner staying on Earth and the loser going into exile. Per Cybertron law, Optimus Prime accepts. Megatron, in an attempt to game the system, gives himself an advantage by siphoning all of the powers of the Decepticons into his body. The Constructicons skew the playing field even further by attempting to disable Teletran 1's ability to detect the advanced powers that Megatron has possessed. Knowing that Optimus Prime will always do the honorable thing, Megatron flies to the duel and fights an unfair fight. Upon his seemingly fair victory, the Autobots accept their fate and prepare to leave Earth. During the battle, the Constructicons attempt to infiltrate the Ark, awaken the Dinobots, and an epic battle ensues. During the battle, the Dinobots open a crack in the earth that exposes a river of lava. As the Dinobots take control, the Constructicons merge into a larger form known as Devastator, which is vastly more powerful than the Dinobots. Teletran 1 informs the Autobots of Megatron's deception, and they rush to the aid of the Dinobots by using Hound's hologram capabilities to create a Devastator-sized Autobot hologram. This fools the Constructicons long enough for Optimus Prime to shoot Devastator and break apart the Constructicons. In their attempt to escape, the Dinobots send the Constructicons into the lava pit, and the Autobots send the rest of the Decepticons down into the lava as well. The episode and season ends with Megatron emerging from the lava, vowing his revenge. So we've reached the end of Season 1, and really, there were no storylines that needed to be wrapped up heading into this episode. We had a three-parter, and the last episode was really a standalone episode, so there wasn't really anything to be wrapped up. And this episode, while being the season finale, was very, very similar to just about every single other standalone episode in the series. The Decepticon construction vehicles that we now know are Constructicons, and in these two episodes, the Decepticons have added like 9 new robots. I have to say that that's actually pretty smart. We talked last time about the fact that the ranks of the Autobots seemingly have been the same, and so the Decepticons, very smartly, are adding to their ranks to give them a numbers advantage. And every time humans try and advance their world, it seems like the Decepticons are there to ruin it. And the Decepticons' plans are always to find a way to use the Earth to get the energy that they need. And so I think if I were Earthlings, I would work more with the Autobots to ensure that the Decepticons weren't able to do that. However, it seems like humanity is just kind of okay with the fact that Megatron and the Decepticons are going to be there at every turn to ruin what they're doing. And it seems like what we're finding here in this case is that the humans were actually going down a route that was a little bit progressive in trying to provide efficient energy for humankind. The Constructicons are interesting because Megatron and crew seemingly built them in these caves that nobody knew about. And supposedly they have no Cybertronian origins. And it's pretty smart by Megatron to take something that exists in construction vehicles and turn it into a Decepticon for his own use. I also love that at the beginning they do a roll call. That's almost something that you need to do because you're introducing new robots and of course you're going to need to know their names. Now with the Insecticons, they each called themselves these names. So the Constructicons come in and just kind of do a roll call and it seems very purposeful as to why they are doing it. There's another animation quirk early on as Starscream is standing next to Megatron only to then be animated as Skywarp with Starscream's voice. The Seekers have always had these kind of quirks, and so this is nothing unusual, but it's the season finale. They haven't figured it out by now, so I think this is something we're going to see going forward. I also like, again, Megatron is a great strategist, and he's using the Autobots' weaknesses against them. He knows that Optimus Prime is always going to go back to his sense of honor, his sense of integrity. He's trying to game the system because he knows that Optimus Prime is going to do the right thing and not suspect that Megatron is doing the wrong thing. This is something that I've talked about with Optimus Prime, that I feel like he's a good leader because he's loyal, but he doesn't seem to think ahead a little bit. I also really enjoy that they're citing Cybertronian lore. It's a nice touch because, again, we don't get that many hints about what happened on Cybertron before we get to Earth. And so we kind of get a glimpse as to what the Transformers, at least their bylaws, were like, or at least their laws in terms of the unspoken rules of integrity, honor, and all that kind of stuff. And these are the things that I know that the Decepticons went against as the war on Cybertron started. Starscream citing the rules is funny because he doesn't really follow the rules with the Decepticons, and you know that he's doing it to get under Megatron's skin. He's always looking for that inside edge to the leadership role, and even though he has come very close to gaining it, Starscream really isn't capable of leading the Decepticons, and I think we all know that by the end of Season 1. So Season 2 will be fascinating. We've added a whole bunch of robots to the Decepticon ranks. Starscream's still trying to get in there no matter how many times he's failed, no matter how many times he's come close to death, but I keep saying to you, Megatron keeps keeping him around, and that's a big weakness for him. So my question is, Megatron is trying to gain the system by getting all the power of the combined Decepticons into his body so that he can forcefully take over the Earth by making sure that he defeats Optimus Prime. By doing so, does that render all the other Decepticons weak? So far in the show, whenever there is a battle or some type of a skirmish, it seems like the energy is depleted from all of the Decepticons and the Autobots, and they need to go back and recharge. So in this case, is he taking Energon, or is it a different form of energy? Because it seems like he is very overpowered. So does that make the rest of the Decepticons weak? Because it would seem that if Megatron was able to defeat Optimus Prime, the rest of the Autobots would be able to take over the Decepticons very, very quickly, but they don't really make that very clear. In the middle portion of this episode, we get really weird animations. We see Megatron having red edges to his Decepticon logo, and we've never really seen that before, at least I haven't noticed it. And there's red portions of the Constructicons at times, even though they're all green and a little bit purple. And these go and fall under the animation quirks, I think, and these are just a little bit weirder because they're very much not in line with what we have seen before, so something to point out there. Optimus Prime and the Autobots always assume that Megatron is going to play by the rules, and I know that we talked about this earlier with Optimus Prime's honor. I don't understand this at all. It seems like the Autobots are way too trusting. They have dealt with the Decepticons for eons now. They should always assume that there is an ulterior motive, but they never seem, again, to be proactive. It was nice to see Hound in this episode because he had a presence early on. And in those early episodes, we discussed that he and Spike seemingly found a relationship or a friendship together, and that Hound had kind of been pushed out of the way for Bumblebee. And I always wonder if this had to do with the sale of toys at the time. I don't know if Season 1 necessarily would be able to be that reactive as far as Hasbro was concerned, but Hound being back, seeing his powers, having an impact, being able to allow the Autobots to come to victory, I really like that because Hound is one of my favorite Autobots, and I think he was underutilized for most of Season 1 after those first couple of episodes. So Optimus Prime is hit point blank during this skirmish, during this battle, this duel with Megatron, and he is hit really hard right in the chest by Megatron's fusion cannon, which has been made overpowered, but it seemingly is not phasing Optimus Prime. I think that there's an inconsistency with how powerful Megatron's fusion cannon is, and that's going to come up later when we get to the movie. And it's not a spoiler alert. I assume many of you who are listening probably have seen Transformers the movie before. But I can't help but think of this every time I see Megatron's fusion cannon hit somebody, and it's just something that kind of came to mind. And in this season finale, Megatron is overpowered, so you'd think that he would do a lot more damage with his cannon. Megatron also fires his tiny gun, his over-the-shoulder cannon, and we've never seen that before. It kind of comes underneath and shoots, and I don't know if that's because of the new powers that he has or the new energy that he has, but not something we've seen before, and it kind of makes you wonder why he doesn't use both more often. Again, with the Seekers, there are two Starscreams when one of them is clearly speaking as Skywarp, and you see two Starscreams. This happens a lot with the Seekers, and I have to assume that just like the toy models, they went with the same models in animation, and hey, sometimes they're just going to get the colors wrong. It's really strange how often this happens. I wish I kind of knew a little bit more about quality control when it comes to 80s animation, but hey, what do I know? And look at that, Teletrend 1, who I've been giving a lot of crap because it is not able to detect enemies in the base. And finally, It detected Decepticons nearby as the Constructicons were coming up underneath to get inside. Of course, no one is home when this is happening, and no Autobot knows about it because they're all out watching this duel. But thankfully, the Dinobots are there. We'll get to that a little bit later. So after this fight happens, Optimus Prime is very, very weak. He can transform, but he's probably unable to hitch his trailer and pull it. And what do you know? Here comes Huffer, a guy we haven't seen all that often this season. He is a very, very tiny truck, and all the time that we've seen him, he's been complaining. So what does he do? He offers to tow Optimus Prime's trailer, and I think that that's really awesome. Not something I knew that he could do, but it seems like Huffer, even underneath his gruff skin, is actually a good guy. So the Dinobots seem to be tied to Teletran, and I talked about it earlier that Teletran 1 alerted the Autobots that the Decepticons were coming into the base. So the Dinobots awaken, and now that there's five of them, this is an interesting fight because you have six Constructicons, five Dinobots. And of course, in their robot form, the Constructicons really have no chance of beating the Dinobots. We saw that in all the episodes that the Dinobots were in where they took over the Autobots and so forth. And what we see when the Dinobots wake up is this battle that takes place in the base and the firing of weapons in the base. This happens throughout the entirety of the season. And you would think that this would not be a great idea as it relates to the base, that you'd be hurting the computers. You may be even damaging Teletran 1. It happens way too often. And so they finally get out into the clearing, and the Constructicons know that they're outnumbered. They know that they're overpowered. And so we find out that the Constructicons get this new form called Devastator. And Devastator, to me, is actually very innovative because up until now, we have seen singular robots. We have never seen combiners like this. Devastator obviously is a larger, less intelligent version of all of the Constructicons put together. And it's nice to see that the Dinobots are meeting their match because Devastator is large, he's powerful. And so it seems as if this is an even battle and the Decepticons are going to come out on top. However, the Cybertronian law makes it so that the Autobots can't help the Dinobots during this, which seems a little bit silly. But Chip is back and he's bringing his Neuron energy and that is saving the day. And the Constructicons end up being defeated because of the hologram we talked about, because Teletran 1 knows that Megatron cheated. And of course, we find this out after the fact, but it doesn't matter because the Autobots find it out. They defeat Devastator. They defeat Megatron. They throw them in the lava. It seems like everything is over. The Autobots are going to be able to live peacefully on this Earth. And then what do you know at the end? Every single time they think they have Megatron down, he's there to vow revenge. Now, it's interesting that he comes up in the lava that is literally directly underneath where the Autobots are. But that is how the season ends. And so this episode was fine. I liked it because I love when they go back to some Cybertronian history. It introduced the Constructicons, who were some of my favorite Decepticons and my favorite Transformers in general. I love the idea of Devastator. I love the idea of combining. But I think it is a precursor to season two, when I know that they're going to introduce a lot more robots, obviously, because there are a ton more episodes in season two. So this was a way to sell a lot of toys, that I think that this was a way to gain the temperature of the consumer and find out what they're going to do in season two. Because if there's one thing that I know from watching this entire season, it is that toys was the number one priority and that they were using this cartoon to try and gauge how much money they could make off of this. Basically, all the episodes have the same template. The bad guys do things, they nearly win. The good guys end up making a comeback and winning. The Decepticons had more new faces introduced in this season, and that's something to watch, as the Autobots obviously are going to need to keep up. There's no real overarching storylines throughout the season. There were a couple of three-parters that obviously had a finite ending, and even in one case, we saw an episode follow up on that, but we didn't see anything happening over the course of the entire season, like something we saw in the pilot and something that maybe needed to be addressed in season two at the end of this season. It was all very standalone. Really standard cartoon fare. And it's 80s cartoon fare. It's something that I like a lot. It's something that I'm revisiting, obviously, by going back to this. And so no complaints here, just an observation. And nostalgia for this was very high for me, because when I watched it back, obviously my 41-year-old mind tells me that certain things are silly. I can see things in a different light. But one thing I wanted to know was, did I still enjoy it? And this season was very enjoyable because of the nostalgia factor. And I can look past all the other things that I've talked about, any of the aspects of this podcast that have come off as complaints. I love the Transformers. It was fun. My son enjoyed it when we watched it together. And so overall, I think that this was a success. Have you watched season one lately? What did you think of it? What did you think of this episode? I would love to know. Email mattyicemedia@gmail.com. questions, comments, concerns, whatever it is. I want to thank everybody for tuning in this time. I want to thank you that you have found this podcast, because I don't do a lot of advertising about it. And I want to thank you for taking out the time. I hope this finds everybody well. Hope this finds everybody safe. And I will talk to you when we start season two. This is Energon Entries. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on Energon Entries are those of Matt Freites and his guests, and not necessarily those of the Matty Ice Media Network. Energon Entries is exclusively owned by Matt Freites and is brought to you by the Matty Ice Media Network.